Yo, BJ Gador with the weekly BJ podcast, and today's episode is all about cracking the cheat meal code. Many of you that have followed me over the years know that I have said over and over again, I'm a fat guy, faking it as a fit guy. I love to eat. You know, my food drive is probably greater or equal to my sex drive, and I have a very high sex drive. So that gives you an idea of how much I love to eat. I grew up overweight. I come from a family where food was used as a tool to show love, and it was about, you know, anytime something good happened, we ate. Anytime something bad happened, we ate. It was comfort. It was joy. And, you know, I think food should be a source of joy in your life. But obviously, you know, if you are someone where food kind of, you don't just eat to live, you live to eat, it can kind of take over your life and you get into trouble. So we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to really go through this whole cheat meal concept. There's no one better to speak to than to this concept than me, all right? Because of the fact I love to eat, I have done everything. I've made all the mistakes in this process. And I think a lot of times people will listen to, you know, a lot of fitness or nutrition experts who are very sensible. Like, you know, they have their little, they might have a burger with a small piece of bun and a little bit of butter on the side. And, you know, they're just so sensible about how they fucking do things. And they don't understand what it's like to have like a huge appetite and to go hard. They just don't get it. Like I played on the line in college. You know, I'm a big dude, you know, and if I don't really stay on top of myself, I can lose control quickly. The whole joke is like a chicken wing away, you know, like from being in shape to like going down the path, the slippery slope of getting really fat and overweight again. So I know the psychology of this, that in a way that a lot of people don't understand it because they don't really have that food drive or they've never had a problem with food. So with that being said, you know, the cheat meal can actually really lead to some bad issues with eating. You know, some, without a doubt, I had an eating disorder, serious binge eating. And it, at times it took over my life. And then I go through periods of like starving myself. Again, I've made these mistakes. Again, it's undiagnosed, but I can just look back now and see like, and you'll hear some of these stories, how crazy some of the shit I did was. But again, it's a biggest takeaway from this episode. I'm going to cover everything, but you've got to be willing to understand that this is a journey. It's going to be a fine-tuning process, not over weeks, months, years. For me, decades. I've been at this for 15 plus years, and I've kind of finally dialed it in. And it's so worth it once you get there. But man, it can be frustrating along the way. And I wish someone would have helped me, you know, guide me in this process, you know, but again, it's part of why I'm doing what I do today and why I can share my wisdom with you. And I really hope you take away some good, you know, information from this episode. So let's first get into the origins of all this stuff, right? You know, the cheat meal is just now in the popular nomenclature. It's a part of pop culture now. There's a hashtag, like the people do this, and people that don't even exercise understand the concept of a cheat meal, you know, that weekly fun reward for, you know, a tough week, a hard week of work, an accomplishment, whatever it is. So it's now there. But if you rewind to like 2005, you know, I'm a senior in college. I had just finished my senior year of football, came off my fourth knee surgery, didn't really know what I wanted to do in my life. I was a double major in economics and sociology. And I asked myself, okay, well, what's the one thing I have to do every day? You know, and if I don't do it, I don't feel right. And it's working out. So I'm like, oh shit, maybe I should just start getting into training. And actually, what was really interesting about this is as a lineman, you know, I finished my senior year about 265, 270. It was a different 265, 270 than I was when I was really fat in high school. I had a lot more muscle. I was more of a man at that point and surely had a good amount of body fat, but I could still really move well at that weight. And it was for a purpose. But now this is the first time in my life where I could actually like trained to look good. And actually, I wanted to see my abs for the first time. Not just the top two abs, which I cut. Even when I was fat, I could see like the top two abs. But to me, like the low ab would, you know, that was never going to be in the cards for me in terms of my thought process back then. I just thought I was a fat guy, or even if I lost some weight, I still wouldn't be shredded. But I took on the challenge. You know, I started training really hard and got in shape. And, you know, one resource I looked at, because I started reading everything online and books, the abs diet. You know, this is actually one of my first. I was familiar with men's health along the way, but like this is the first time I really got into it was with the abs diet. And it was a book based on, you know, these key principles to finally seeing your abs. And one of the big things in it, which was awesome, was that you could have a weekly cheat day or cheat meal where like as long as you were good during the week, you focused on the superfoods, good meal frequency, all that shit, you could do whatever you wanted one day of the week and still see results. Obviously, you know, that sounds too good to be true, but I wanted to buy into that because, like, I couldn't imagine not eating the foods I love on a regular basis. And knowing that I'm a man of routine, like, I'm good, like, during the week in particular. You're busy, you're doing shit. I like the structure of, you know, knowing I'm eating, you know, this meal. You know, I like the simplicity of just rotating between a few meals and being consistent. And I like the discipline of a good diet, but I also like being able to go off the wagon and lose control too. So it was like the most amazing concept, and some of my roommates got involved with it. And we used to call it Cheat Meal 2000. This was around like the millennium, but I don't know why we call it 2000. It's probably me, but we would, you know, all eat really well during the week, and, you know, and still not to the level that I do now. Like, when you're in your early 20s, you can get away with a lot more, but really it was just, you know, protein, meats and greens, protein and produce, not too much extra carbohydrate, trained really hard during the week. And then Friday came, we crushed like a 2-hour workout, and then we would fucking lose control. We go on a food crawl. Many of you know I don't drink for personal reasons. Alcoholism runs in my family. So we'd always go, you know, food was where I would go hard, you know, in college. And the food crawl, much like a bar crawl, you go to different bars, we'd go between different food places. And I went to Amherst College, and I've never been back, but if I would go back, it wouldn't be to visit the school. It would be to really enjoy the food in that area. It's the 5-college area. They've got like Smith, Hampshire College, UMass, Amherst, Amherst College. There's something else. But it's actually based on, you know, Scooby-Doo. The cartoon was actually based on that 5-college area. But they have amazing food. So we'd go to like this pasti basta Italian place. They'd have the most amazing fresh bread out of the oven. You could dip in the pasta, and we get chick parm, and it was just amazing. Then we would go get like a burrito at this other place called Bueno Isano, which, like, they were way ahead of the game. They had the whole wheat tortillas, which, you know, you feel better about. It's the same amount of calories coming through. But obviously, you know, you tell yourself, it has whole wheat, so I can have it, right? Doesn't really fucking make a difference when it comes to calories, but the shit we say to ourselves to rationalize our decisions in the moment. But they also use, you know, like yogurt instead of sour cream for the topping. You know, just it was a really nice, healthy, clean alternative to like a traditional burrito. But again, like, even if it's healthy, you know, I just had pasta and bread. Then I had a burrito. Then we get like probably a couple slices of pizza at Antonio's, which had like the specialty pizzas, right? So the barbecue chicken pizza, they have like nacho pizza, like crazy toppings, like really delicious stuff. And then we'd finish it off at Black Sheep, which is this awesome dessert shop, cookies, muffins, but they had like in particular this black mousse, chocolate mousse that was just outstanding with whipped cream. And, you know, so basically we're talking, this probably took about 60 to 90 minutes, easily 5 to 10,000 calories, easily. And then you start to realize, holy shit, like, and I would do this each week. Like, so I'd look my best on Friday. I'd be feeling amazing. Okay, let's just kill it. And then we would kill it. And then like the weekend, I just felt like shit. I felt bloated. I looked bloated. I kind of lost my definition. And I'd spend the remaining week trying to offset what happened on that Friday. And it was that vicious cycle of like, and again, like, keep in mind, you know, early 20s, I dropped down to like 225 and I was lean. But I reached a point where even, you know, again, people don't understand, when you're like a big, big guy, like a lineman, and you have a lot of muscle mass, I was eating like 8 meals a day because that was real hard for me to maintain that weight, like sandwiches before bed. So I just cut out a couple things. Like, I cut out like 1 or 2 of those extra meals, and I dropped, you know, 20 to 30 pounds real quick. And I had a lot of the muscle mass still, and I was trying to maintain and build upon that. So my metabolism was just operating at a level that many just don't understand or can't relate to, as I was coming down from the heavier weight. So I could get away with a lot more stuff, and I can get away with a lot more stuff today because of my muscle mass, and we'll touch on that later. But even then, I reached a point where, you know, like, I wanted to go to the next level. I had like 4 of the 6 abs showing, and I wanted to get like the 6 or 8 abs showing, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, 6, 8-pack, 12-pack. So, you know, I realized, wow, it doesn't work. You know, I can't just eat whatever I want on a given day or a given meal, because you just can't outwork the amount of food you can eat in a short period of time. It just doesn't work that way. And as much as it sucks, and as I wanted to believe it was possible, now, I was still probably lean enough for what most people would be looking for, but not that next level fitness, right? So, you know, that was a real eye-opener. And I think one thing that you have to understand, having worked in men's health, and I know a lot of the people that write these types of books, a lot of them are like really, they're thinner, leaner people, never really had an issue with their weight. They tend to not really have much muscle mass either, but maybe more of the skinny fat look, right? Like they, you know, they might have a little bit of belly or a pooch, but like they're never going to be fat and they don't really have much of a food drive. And like when they cheat, it's like a slice or two of pizza, which to me is like a fucking freak show. Like who has a slice or two of pizza? I mean, you're talking to a guy that once won a pizza eating contest, extra large cheese pizza with only a cup of water to drink while you're doing it, including the crust. I did it in 7 minutes and 32 seconds. A come from behind victory, I might add. So again, like I can't even understand that, like how people can look at things that way. And again, because I have an issue with food. I'm a binge eater by trade. So for someone who's very, you know, sensible, moderate eater, yeah, saying to them, okay, you can have one meal or one day a week, they've never been ones to kill it. And so they might just have like a couple beers, a sandwich, some chips or fries, and some dessert. And then, yeah, in that case, especially if you're good during the week, you can probably see some pretty good results. But if you're going to go and binge, it's just not going to happen. And binge eating is, again, it's not every healthy behavior as well long term. So there's that. And I look at another great story here. I did my first bodybuilding competition, you know, coming from college. And I'm like, I wanted to get some good photos. And, you know, and my whole thing was like, your body's your business card. And I did a bodybuilding competition, got the leanest I ever was. You know, I could see my abs like all the way through, look great. But I went like, I think it was 12 or 16 weeks with just green vegetables for carbohydrate, and that was it. Some real extreme shit. And then finally did the competition. I got first in the heavyweight class in the amateur Mr. Wisconsin at the state fair. So stupid. So sad, actually, that. I mean, just think about how pathetic. Like, I was so into it, and my life revolved around it. It was a fucking state fair with, like, there were fucking donkeys and horses and shit. There was like poop everywhere. It really, again, like I look back at some of the shit I've done in my life, and I've talked to other people that have done this, like Jeremy Scott, who've done competitions or gotten ready for photo shoots and stuff. Again, it's really valuable to go through it, because if you get that lean, you can help anyone get to where they're trying to go, because no one wants to get that lean. No one's willing to do that shit. And it gives you some real perspective on life and fitness and diet. But man, it's just, you lose yourself in it, and it's so ridiculous. It's just not worth it. But anyway, so right after that, I lost control. I don't even drink regular soda. I used to when I was really overweight as growing up, but that was one of the things I said to myself when I made those initial changes around 17, 18, I'm not going to have liquid calories anymore. But I was like such in a scarcity mindset, a state of deprivation. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to have Coke. I fucking took down a couple Cokes, went to Cheesecake Factory, had the chicken Louisiana pasta, the nachos, couple cheesecakes. I ate all the bread that was there at the table, even though it was bread. Bread was one thing I said to myself, I'll never have that again. It was really bread and liquid calories that really killed me growing up. I had just so much of that. It's just pure energy, not a lot of nutrition. But again, I told myself I earned it and I could do whatever I want. And then I woke up the next day and at night when we got back, I had a ice cream cake that I also ate. I mean, really like crazy. But I was so deprived and so lean at the time that the next day I woke up and my abs weren't as good, but like, you know, because your muscles hold carbohydrate and my arms are just huge. And I had this vascularity still around the shoulders, like the spider vein. I was like, wow, this is amazing. But I should have just kept it there, but I didn't. And I went further. And then like the next 5 days, everything in sight. I go to Chipotle and I just have a burrito. Not something I would even normally do, but I did whatever I want because I felt I earned it. I completely fell off the wagon. And fast forward 5 days later, after being the leanest I ever was in my entire life, I gained 35 pounds and I was in worse shape and looked way worse than I did before I started prepping for the competition. And it was one of the most depressing moments of my life because like luckily I got all these photos in and everything, but like, you know, people that saw you prepare for the competition and they saw you the next week, it's like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, what happened to you? Like, I was legitimately, because I'm a face gainer too, and you gain all this water weight. My face was just like, I had jowls. I was swollen. And I remember coming back into this personal training studio I had been working out of at the time, building up my clientele. And I just saw the looks on people's faces when I came in. They're like, oh my God, this dude was like shredded 5 days ago. And now he's like the fattest trainer on site right now. So look, you got to make these mistakes, and this really shows you the danger of the scarcity mindset. And when you know, like, you only have a meal or one day or let's say 2 to 4 hours to have as much food as you want, you will, especially if you have issues with food or you're prone to binge eating, you have trigger foods, you will find a way to eat more than you should and basically offset the benefits of a good diet throughout the week or leading up into a competition or a deadline. And it becomes a very slippery slope. And I found myself too often using exercise to punish myself for eating too much food instead of using food as a reward for exercise or using food as fuel or a tool for gains. Like, that mindset is important. When you like, I would eat really bad shit, then I'd like go through this terrible workout, and like, right, like when you eat bad food, you feel like shit. It's like you got gastrointestinal distress, you're sluggish, and they wouldn't even be great workouts, by the way. Like, you would think, oh, if I eat all these calories and carbs, I should have great workouts. I actually would have shitty workouts. For me, I only really have good workouts when I train light and empty, you know. So I'd actually have shitty workouts, but I would gut through it because I'm like, I just fucking ate too much and I've got to punish myself. And again, that is an awful way to live. And if you think about it, that is much in much the way that exercise has been used historically, you know, in gym class, in athletics. You know, you're late, you run, right? Or you know, you go off sides and you do up downs till you puke, right? So that's the mindset that we have to get away from if you want to make this work long term and make it a lifestyle, make it a healthy way to live, right? You should never use exercise to punish yourself. And we'll talk about how you shift that mindset. I'd also focus on how much I would deprive myself, how much I could, like, how little I could eat versus how much I can get away with. And shifting from a scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset is critical because, you know this, right? Like, when there's a sale and there's like only 10 items left or it's only an hour left in the sale, people do some crazy shit. Here's an example. My online coaching program, Gorilla Corn Gains, we launched it in the new year. And obviously that's a time we know when people are really interested in fitness and they're excited, they want to make changes. And there were three people, okay, that joined the program. And this is either $500 for the quarter or $200 a month. And it's an annual program, but we do things in quarters. So throughout the year, it's my exact plan. There were three people that signed up for that and either paid $500 or $600 based on monthly or quarterly payment and only logged in one time to see the resources, meaning they thought they were going to do it. They got really excited that the program was closing down and, they had this vision of themselves in 2019. 2019 comes around and maybe, you know, something happened. They had a bad day or they overdid it over the vacation and they lost motivation or they saw how much, you know, you got to look through the resources, watch the videos and, you know, wow, this is going to be a lot of work. And it really sets in the reality of like, oh shit, I wanted this, but there's no way I can do this, or there's no way I want this enough to make the sacrifices needed to get it in. That's just an example of like how, you know, the scarcity of it, many people who would probably never do it want to join. I guess it's a good thing from a sales standpoint. Obviously, that's not who we're looking to attract. I want people to use it, and almost everybody else did and has gotten great results. But it just shows you, again, when you put yourself in situations where you can't have this amount of food, but then you finally can, you lose control, or you do things that are not what you would normally do or that makes sense for your life, right? So it's important to switch that mindset. Also, you know, one of my big struggles over the last several decades has been trying to get rid of the anxiety around food or diet. You know, you have these cheat meals and then there's just so much guilt and that's so unhealthy, right? I mean, you enjoy it like for, you know, the 5, 10, 30 minutes you're eating and then the rest of the day you're like, ugh. Or, you know, you look so much better the day before and then you look like shit the next day and you don't feel well and sometimes the joints ache because, you know, sugar is an inflammatory thing in the body and you just don't feel right. Anytime you change up your diet like that, you know, you get gas and you're shitting your brains out. Again, it's just not, I'd almost even find while I'm eating it, I'm like, I can't even enjoy it because I'm just thinking about how much exercise I'm going to have to do to kind of offset this, even though I never really could, but I would try in vain. So again, this is the danger of the cheat meal or the concept of it. And, you know, now I'm really, it's always, you're always a work in progress, but I really look at it as a weekly reward in social situations. For my wife and I, we both love food. We both grew up overweight and we've worked really hard to kind of create these weekly strategies that allow us to, you know, be healthy, look presentable, you know, but still enjoy food. And, you know, what we'll do is every week we'll try to go to a nice restaurant we haven't gone before. We'll, like, what are we feeling this week? Like, this past weekend we have been feeling hot chicken, like this hot Nashville chicken. They have a bunch of really good shops like that in L.A. And got these, like, this delicious hot chicken sandwich. They also had, like, this amazing fries, were like potato wedge fries with hot chicken on top. There were some beans in it, some other, it was really amazing. But I had the bun and, you know, we enjoyed it. And by the way, we did a really intense 1 hour workout before we went. I'll touch on that later. And there wasn't much guilt with that, because again, we worked hard during the week. We really enjoyed it. We left it there. We came back home and we're good to go. And, you know, so that's how we look at it now. And there are times of year where I have more flexibility, and then times of year where I tighten things up a bit. But overall, I look for weekly flexibility to kind of stay sane and also be someone that can be a, you know, not a role model, that's the wrong word, but someone that can, you know, practice what they preach. And I do preach that you can have weekly flexibility and look the way you want to look and perform the way you want to perform and be healthy. And that's been part of the lifestyle I've been trying to get other people to engage on, because there's no need to become a fucking robot about it. You're not Ivan Drago. You'll never be. You don't want to be, because it's, you know, there's just too much good food out there to eat and that maybe you haven't tried. And especially if you have a drive for it, it's all about finding ways to get away with as much as you can while still looking at performing the way you want. And that's the mindset with this. So let's go to the myth of the cheat meal. This is one of the things too that initially I wanted to buy into, because it sounded like amazing, right? Because there was this concept that a cheat meal would increase your metabolism by going lower calorie and then adding a really high calorie meal or a high calorie day or a period of higher calories. You would, like, dramatically boost your metabolism and create greater fat loss. And obviously it's something that we'd want to buy into, but all the research shows it's not true. All right. Or basically, you know, overeating, just think about it, overeating doesn't boost fat loss. And you'll never end up burning more calories than you consume. Impossible. But strategic eating flexibility does improve long-term dietary compliance. If it's not sustainable, it's questionable, right? Like, obviously, me having hot chicken and fries is not helping me fit in the short shorts that I wear in my videos. But it allows me to be disciplined during the week enough so that I earn that treat and I can get right back on track and then still fit in those shorts without hating my life or being miserable, right? So that's the, I could be, when someone asks about your body fat, I say it's low enough, but it could be lower. I could definitely tighten things up. And there are times where I will and should, or what, for whatever reason. But, you know, I also know one thing that it's so interesting if you're a fitness pro or you make content. And I found this time and time again in Men's Health, and a lot of these writers and journalists would tell us, they just know, like, you got to be careful not to get in too good of shape, because if you get in too good of shape, it's not relatable and people think you work out all day and you don't, you know, you don't have kids and it's you're obsessed and it's not relatable. And so there actually is, like, there's a point for men I can speak to. I can't speak to women because I'm not, but where getting too lean, especially if you're a face gainer, you start to not look as good as you would. Like, you might look your best at 8 to 10% body fat than 6 to 8, right? Because, you know, A, it's not as relatable. It looks too extreme. It looks gross to some people. And then you start to get really, like, hollowed out face. It can age you. So again, like, you know, having a little bit of cushion for the pushing, you know, is more relatable, and it's sustainable, and you'll feel amazing. Like, people, you feel amazing when you're 8 to 12% body fat as a man. Your hormones are optimized to burn fat, build muscle. You'll have energy. You can get killer workouts. You can have flexibility. You can fit into most things that you want to fit into. You can look pretty. You still have good amounts of muscle definition and separation. And again, for most people, it would be like a dream. You might not be like your all-time best or cover model ready, you know, but most people would rather look that way than the cover model looks, and especially when they know what's required to get there. So that's just something to consider. But, you know, there's a good book that I recommend. I actually had him on a guest of this podcast a while back. Check out the previous episode. The MetaShred Diet author, Dr. Mike Roussel. And there were two studies in his book. You know, he talked about the myth of the cheat meal. And, you know, one study, they did 7 days of overfeeding by 1,000 calories a day and found out that it only ended up boosting metabolism by 18 calories per day. Do the math on that. So they additional 1,000 calories a day, it only ended up burning 18 more calories. So basically, we're talking about a shit ton of extra calories in the diet for a very small return, right? 982 calories still net surplus from what was supposed to boost your metabolism and help you get leaner. Study two, they did an extra 700 calories of food for one meal, it only boosted metabolism by 130 calories that day. And 35 of that was from the thermic effect of food, which is just digestion. You eat more food, particularly protein, because it actually has more higher thermic effect in digestion than fat or carbohydrate, but still minimal amounts comparatively to an overall diet. When we're talking in thousands of calories for most people, right? So, you know, 35 calories from just digestion. And then they didn't really know where the other calories were coming from in terms of what the boost was of that 138 total. So 35 of that 138 was from digestion. The remaining, they hypothesized, is mainly most likely because of NEAT, or non-exercise activity thermogenesis, meaning they just moved more that day. And maybe it's because like they felt guilty with that extra calorie, so they went for a walk, or they played some basketball, who knows? But, or they did a longer workout that day. So you don't really know. But again, we're talking about, not only is it not of consequence, but like you're adding a significant surplus. And again, it's what you would think. It is, number one, it is about calories. And then it is about then number two, it's the quality of calories. But you know, it doesn't make sense. Really, it's like thinking that a cheat meal, and I was there. I used to be in that vortex of bullshit where I could have a cheat meal and this is going to boost my metabolism. I would tell myself that. Much like someone buys a waist trainer and thinks it's going to make their belly fat go away. Or someone gets one of those dick pumps and it just, they put it on their dick and they pump it and think their dick is going to be longer long term. Not that I've ever used one, by the way. But by the way, the jury's out on it. It does not. It just temporarily brings some more blood there. It's not going to be something that you can be sustainable with. Actually, I don't really know too much about it. Maybe it does work, but I would assume it's not very effective, or the increases in size are transient and short-term and not long-lasting. So, and I'm assuming also there's probably some health consequences there too. But again, not my specialty. But again, you know, it is a too good to be true thing. And just have to know that it's not going to boost your metabolism, and any subsequent boost is so minimal, especially compared to the excess number of calories coming in. So it's really more about psychology than it is about physiology. Like the psychology of having the cheat, which allows you to stay, you know, consistent with the diet long term, is what's really important with the cheat meal, not the fact it's going to boost your metabolism, because it won't, at least not to the degree needed to offset all the calories, and not even close. Another thing, right? There's terminology, right? Some say cheat day, reward day, treat day. You know, use whatever terminology you're comfortable with. Many will say don't say cheat because that's a negative mindset. That's a pessimistic approach to it. I get that. The thing is, like, it is actually, it's such a good term. But for me, I prefer fuck it meal. That's just how I mean, really, because that's what it is. Like, in most cases, you would just say, fuck it. I want a pizza. Fuck it. I want a burger and fries. You know, fuck it, I want a milkshake. So that's how I approach it. And again, it's a fun thing. And, you know, for me, that's the terminology I think makes the most sense. And I don't always have to say fuck it. It can just be more of a cleaner cheat, which we'll touch on the difference between the two coming up soon. But, you know, think of whatever terminology puts you in a good state of mind and makes it something that's fun and not negative. A more positive approach is obviously ideal. And again, for me, I can also say cheat. It's not a big deal. I don't get... There's no negativity around it, but, you know, a lot of people will, you know, psychologists or people that are more on the mental side of this do find it to be pretty important, you know, what terms you use around food, especially if you have an issue with food. Just consider that. Then there is the big difference between, you know, a cheat meal, a cheat day, and cheat weekends. And, you know, it's so funny. I look back on the history. I'm 36 today, so I can't really speak to what it's going to be like when I'm in my 40s, but I do know many people in fitness in their 40s, 50s, And many of them, you know, they just tell you what should be obvious is that the window of dietary flexibility closes with age, right? The one thing I'll say is that I actually can get away with in some cases more now than I did when I was younger because I have more muscle mass and I can train harder and longer than I ever had before. But obviously there will be, you know, Father Time is undefeated. So at some point, you know, there will be a time where I just can't get away with as much as I used to, and even with muscle mass and everything else. And so what I did is kind of break this down by age group. Again, it's not perfect, but I think it applies in most cases, right? So the cheat meal means it's a single sitting, right? Or maybe like a 2 to 4 hour period. The day means the whole day. Weekend means like, you know, once Friday afternoon or evening hits, you're gone until most likely Saturday night. And then you might even tap into Sunday a bit and really get after it. But what I will say is, in your teens and 20s, you know, cheat weekends are a possibility. I mean, you might be able to get away with that and look the way you want to look, especially if you're an athlete and, you know, you're already lean. The issue, what's so tough about it, is kind of a situation of the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Like, the muscular, lean, and fit can get away with more. Whereas when you're already overweight, you know, you are in a situation where you just don't have as much flexibility in you. You just don't. Like, you don't have as much muscle mass. Fat in and of itself creates hormonal situations that make you fatter. And it is a rich get richer, poor get poorer situation. So, you know, that's why a lot of people, like, I'll give this story coming up later, but, you know, they're blown away when they see someone really fit eat a bunch of shitty food. It's like, how do you get away with that? Well, again, like, it's, I wish it would have been so much easier for me if I was never overweight, because once you are overweight for a extended period of time, your body will always want to push back to that. It's much harder. You basically incur an extra daily calorie burn requirement to be a certain weight than if you had been that same weight but never had been fat. There's research on this where there's like a couple hundred extra calories that either you have to cut out in food or do an exercise to offset, you know, that overweight burden you had whenever that was. So there is a cost to being overweight. And again, it's one of those things that fat has a tendency to want to make more fat, especially in these situations. So just consider that. But, you know, your teens and 20s, probably more early mid-20s, you can probably go hard all weekend. All right. In your 30s, now we're talking probably more, a cheat day. And even in some cases, like, we're, you know, you'd probably want to make it one or two meals, not the whole day. And we'll talk about why you'd want to start doing it as late in the day as possible, because, you know, you start too early and, man, you can make a day have a weekend's impact. Trust me, no one can speak to that better than me. And then we're talking 40 plus, you know, we're more likely looking at a meal, a single sitting. And, you know, it's not as sexy as being able to say you have whatever you want all weekend, but just it's being honest with the fact that, you know, the aging process has consequences. And also what's interesting too is I don't have the same desire to gorge in my 30s that I did in my 20s. You know, you start to associate, like, I know how hard it is to be consistent with the exercise and diet and to train hard. And I don't want to be so gluttonous because I know it's going to affect my next couple workouts. You know, I also have to be able to fit in these shorts that I wear on a 24/7, 365 basis. So that accountability is also part of the equation, where in my 20s, I would just have to get ready for like a photo shoot or a special DVD project or an occasion where I had to look really fit. And then I could go back to being, you know, fatter or less fit at other times. But now I'm like this at all times. And it's just not worth it to totally lose control, you know, because I like feeling good, and I love food, but I don't love it when I feel like shit or have too much guilt, and I don't want it to affect my career. So that's important too. So that's a good way to look at meal day, weekends in general. Again, with the mindset of, you know, find, and by the way, within those schemes too, like binge eaters or people that like really love food, it's almost impossible. I don't care if it's in your 20s that you're going to get away with a weekend, right? Now, a sensible eater might, right? Because they're capable of having a slice of pizza, a cookie, a beer, whatever it is. But you got to know yourself. Some people just can't do that. They just don't have, like, for me, I need to be full. I need that feeling of being full. And if I don't get enough food volume, you know, I have to keep going. That's why, like, a single piece of pizza doesn't do it for me. I need to almost have the whole thing. So, but I know that about myself, and that's one thing to consider too. So it's not just age, it's also your eating personality or style. Sensible eaters can get away with probably a greater period of time, more of a day or weekend, because they will never overdo it too much. Whereas someone who's more prone to binging or overdoing it, you probably, a weekend or a full day probably never makes sense. I don't care how lean you get or how fit you get. So there is variance within that. And then there's, you know, there's clean cheats versus fuck it meals. All right, so fuck it meal, like I said, you say fuck it. It's like, you know what? I'm going hard. Burgers, fries, milkshake. You know, a clean cheat could be, okay, I'm going to, you know, make the fries at home. I get one of those frozen bagels. Alexia fries are really nice. You can tend to be, you know, better ingredients, less overall oil or fat in them. You can bake them in the oven. And then I'll have a burger without the bun or a bun, but I'll make it like a really healthy bun with fiber. And, you know, and instead of the milkshake, I'm going to have enlightened ice cream, which is a higher protein, lower sugar ice cream alternative, right? Again, not as sexy as like gorging at Culver's if you're in the Midwest, or going In-N-Out if you're in, you know, Cali or out west, whatever it is, your favorite burger, fry, milkshake spot, Five Guys. But again, you know, you get most of what you're looking for, but, you know, less guilt. It's still protein and produce, right? The fry is a vegetable, it's a potato. You've got, and by the way, too, I'd also probably go with like a grass-fed burger, you know, versus like, you know, they're not using grass-fed organic meats at most fast food burger, fry, milkshake joints, right? So using cleaner ingredients, it's still like protein and produce, but it's plus. It's extra stuff I wouldn't have normally during the week. And, you know, healthier, guilt-free subs and modifications that can dramatically cut down the overall caloric load. And this really adds up, not just that single time, but over the course of the year. If you're someone that has cleaner cheats throughout the year, it will pay huge dividends in your body composition, meaning you'll have less fat and or more muscle because of that. You know, again, it's a lifestyle, right? You don't just eat shit to eat shit. You do it when you really feel like you want it. But anytime you feel like, oh, I don't need to go totally crazy. This will be enough for me. I'll feel satisfied. And you know what? I won't be as bloated the next day. And then you start going through that kind of cycle of, you know, choosing better options. And just like my wife and I, sometimes if we had too much the night before on a Friday, Saturday night, we'll, if we want to give a little more flexibility, we'll do those Kala Power pizzas, which is a cauliflower crust, which you really like, or the real good pizza. By the way, the cleaner cheats, I talked about a lot of these in a previous episode called 13 Fun Foods in My Fridge. You can reference that episode, and I'll link in the show notes on that, but it's a recent episode in terms of when you're listening to this podcast. So there's lots of options you can kind of work into your lifestyle and make it work. I mean, the fucking game, you get sloppy as fuck. I mean, and there's typically some or a lot of guilt, and not just following it, but sometimes even during it. And you have to understand, is that going to negatively impact your week? You know, not only like this past week, but the upcoming week, and you start to decide, you know, how much is this worth it? Maybe I only have one fuck it meal a month and the rest are cleaner cheats. But again, if you can get away with a fuck it meal every week or multiple fuck it meals every week and look the way you want to look and perform the way you want to perform and not have health issues, you know, I say go for it, right? Everybody's different based on age, fitness level, genetics, etc. So, but I will say, you know, the people that you see that are like lean year round, they tend to regularly incorporate cleaner cheats. They do. And that really adds up. It really adds up over the course of a year. Weekly carb calorie cycling. Now, I did a full episode also on, you know, keto and carb cycling and all this stuff. Check out that previous episode for more information there, that I don't want to go into too much depth there. But, you know, ultimately, many of you know the saying I have, if you want to go high, you got to go low, right? So if you're going to be someone who regularly engages in a cheat meal or cheat day, you've got to get a strategy in place that allows for lower calorie and carbohydrate consumption during the week. So typically, you know, what I initially did, I would just have protein and produce during the week, and then I would have other things on, you know, Fridays and Saturdays, or just for one or two meals on Friday or Saturday that did fit in the plan. Still protein and produce, but then plus whatever else I wanted that I was craving. And by going lower carb and calorie during the week, it allowed me to go higher for a day or two and still have that average daily caloric intake without actually tracking calories, by the way, but the average daily caloric intake was low enough that I could still be lean or continue to burn fat based on what the goal was at the time. And when I wasn't seeing the progress I needed, I would just fine tune those cheat meals and cheat days. I would just, you know, eat less and while still engaging in it, but like, you know, you can only go so low during the week, but it isn't about your daily caloric consumption. It's why, like, you know, you never give any too much importance to any given meal, you know, because again, over the course of the long haul, that meal means nothing in a lifetime that is 80 years, right? So, but you do need the concept of, because you can only hold so much carbohydrate in your muscles and in your liver. And if you don't have enough activity, or you are in a caloric surplus, that extra carbohydrate that can't be stored gets stored as body fat. Converted and stored as body fat. So you have to cycle things that way. And it works really well. But now, actually, because I found if I would go too low carbohydrate during the week, not only does the training energy take a hit, and I do these really intense, you know, metabolic bodybuilding style workouts. I've been doing I've been finishing most sessions with some boxing, and I do, you know, once or twice a week, a full hour, 15 round boxing workout. So, you know, I just have, I'm doing more high intensity activity these days, and I need more carbohydrate during the week. So I've been having, you know, it's protein and produce, plus I'll probably have a little bit of starch, could be some oats, could be some sprouted grain bread, you know, more potatoes than I've ever had in my life. And what I'm finding is I have, because of that less deprivation during the week, I have less desire to gorge or binge on the weekend, and I have better workouts. I don't have as much body weight fluctuation that happens. Like when you go low, super low carb during the week, like you're amazing on Friday, you're light, and then you're super heavy on the weekends, and it affects your workouts. It affects the way clothes fit. It just, and you don't feel good. So that's one thing to consider too. You don't want to go too low, because the pendulum swings to being, you know, losing control on the weekend. So one of the things I've talked about in the past, allot yourself a daily 100 to 300 calorie treat to take the edge off and prevent from feeling too deprived during the week, so you don't overdo it. And you know, sometimes one of the best recommendations is, I love frozen berries and cherries with some whipped cream. You can go with some of the cleaner cheat options like the Enlightened ice cream, the Coconut Girl ice cream sandwiches. They're like paleo sandwiches with very low sugar and healthy fats. I love those. You know, it's like 250 calories that I'll have at night sometimes, but that helps a lot. So again, just you have to, the thing is, you can't have a regular cheat meals if you're eating like shit during the week. All right. It's just, you earn it, right? And some people, it's what's so funny too, is some people eat like this on a regular basis, and it's like, wow, you can't even believe that happens. It's like, I can't even understand the concept of eating a pizza for lunch on a Tuesday. It happens. How can you do that? Like, it doesn't even make sense to me. But again, I'm balls deep into this. So, you know, that probably would have been something I would have done when I was fat. You know, I remember eating pizza on a regular basis. And again, there's a reason why I was fat. Next thing I want to touch on, the can't eat just one phenomenon. It goes into the whole binge eating concept, but also just understanding and knowing your own eating personality. You know, was it Frito-Lay? I forget which chip it was. But whatever it was, there's the brilliant marketing campaign was, bet you can't eat just one. It's like, you pop the cap, have one of those, you're going to have a whole fucking box or can. Done, right? Some people are like that. I'm like that in some cases. I've got much more control now, where I know that one just even doesn't even do it for me. So not only do I not want to open up the slippery slope, but it's just pointless. But others, like, they just love to have a couple chips. Or one. Oh, good. It just changes the taste, the palate change. Like those people are foreign to me. They're aliens, but they do exist. So if you're not that person, you've got to be, you know, binge eaters beware. You've got to identify your trigger foods. You know, if you're someone that can have, you know, I know this about myself. There's some carbs I can have in moderation, you know, starchy carbs, oats, sprouted grain bread, beans, you know, at some point, or the chickpea pastas that are out there now, which are higher fiber and protein, lower carbohydrate, you know, those, I can eat a lot of them, but at some point it's like, okay, I'm good. There's so much fiber, they're filling. But pizza, ice cream, chips, I mean, a couple weeks ago, I think I had, like, with my wife, and I, by the way, when I have stuff with my wife, it's mainly, at least 80% of the consumption is on my side. We had like four bags of those crinkle cut chips, like, we just after an edible, by the way, which I'll touch on coming up. But so, you know, I know that about myself. And I also know that it's critical for me to have a lot of food volume. I need that feeling in my stomach of being full, not stuffed. I don't like to get stuffed anymore. It's gross. Every once in a while it happens where I overdo it. So I'm not perfect. I still make mistakes, but that's why it's critical to get enough food volume in the stomach so that, and then choosing at those meals, like foods that have a lot of food volume, like protein and produce, that prevent me from eating too many other high calorie or energy dense foods, which are too costly, right? So you have to know that about yourself and identify those trigger foods. Not that you can never have those foods again, but just know that if it's supposed to be a moderate meal or a cleaner cheat, you know, you got to start, or you're in an aggressive fat loss phase, or you're a beginner is trying to figure this out and needs to kind of get some control back of their eating and show themselves they can do it. You've got to potentially cut those foods off for your period of time, all right? Implications for beginners versus advanced trainees. So I do think that if you're a beginner, it does make sense in some cases to go 2 to 4 weeks without a cheat to build the habits, the discipline, and show you that you don't need that stuff to survive or feel good. go through that initial kind of the withdrawal symptoms you get when you're a carb addict or you're, you know, you finally start eating good food from eating shitty food, and showing you can do it. And also what's really important too, early on, the first 30 days, it's critical to see some results, right? Just to get some positive feedback and get some compliments from others and build some momentum. And it's difficult to do that when you're not going to find those great results if you have probably a cheat meal or a cheat day right away off the bat. I do want you to start at some point finding ways to incorporate that, because again, if it's not sustainable, it's questionable. And I want you to, as soon as possible, start making the mistakes so you can actually lock in what's perfect for you. But you just have to have the mindset about you that, you know, maybe I need to just show myself, you know, shock the system a little bit. I think that's important. And I think it helps a lot, especially in the beginning. I will also say that I said earlier, muscle is a blood sugar sponge. The more you have, the more carbs and calories you can get away with. So, you know, building muscle is the best investment for long-term dietary flexibility. But building muscle takes time, like 3 to 5 years minimum to see some dramatic results. And in most cases, it takes decades of work to really have a physique that like is noticeably like it's significant, right? Where people, even if you wear like a hoodie and pants, they can say, oh shit, that dude or that gal works out, right? That takes a lot of time. So most people don't have like the delayed gratification required to like say, okay, I'm going to invest in my body for a couple decades so I can, you know, eat the foods I love on a regular basis and still look the way I want to look. And but it's just so funny. The leaner you get, the more muscle you have, the more you can get away with. And, you know, that's important too. Because, again, it's much easier to maintain a result or slowly build a result over a long time than it is to see, you know, to get dramatic results, right? Which most people are looking for when it comes to fat loss in particular. You know, with that, fat loss versus muscle gain implications. Obviously, if you're on more of a shred focus, a weekly or bi-weekly cheat meal probably makes the most sense. And especially based on how much you tend to overdo it. Maybe even once a month in some cases as a reward for a month of good eating. Again, it depends how aggressive you are, your genetics, everything else. If you're more muscle gain or gains focused, you know, you can probably have a weekly cheat meal or day. And again, a lot of this is just you try it, see how your body responds for a couple weeks, and then you adjust. But, you know, that's basically, I tend to eat the same diet during the week. And then if I want to get more shredded I'll just fine tune, or instead of two cheat meals, I'll have one. Instead of 1 day, 2 days, I'll have only 1 day of flexibility. And then if I'm more of a gains focus, I might sometimes make it a whole full weekend, you know? So that's how I'll shift my focus over the course of the year. Something's coming up, you know, I'll just cut down to like one cleaner cheat a week or one or two cleaner cheats, right? So that's kind of how the fine tuning process goes. I don't like to change the week up too much because those are habits I'm locked in. I want to have good solid workouts throughout the week without feeling, you know, bad or getting too low of energy or mood swings, etc. So that's how that those implications are affected by the goal as well. I will say there's a slippery slope with weed and alcohol. I've never drank. I mentioned that earlier. But, you know, it took me 15 years to dial in like the perfect cheat schedule. And then I moved to California and started eating edibles. And in particular, the indica strain, indica means in the couch, they say. It's like more of a body high. And I'll just have like one 10 milligram cookie or gummy. And man, like I am insatiable. And I, for a period of time, like I was doing it on Friday and Saturday, and that was just too much. I just literally, I'm eating everything inside. I can't stop. I should be so much fatter. I think a lot of it is because of the metabolism I built and the muscle mass I have, and my activity level is pretty high. But I can't believe how much I've been eating. And it's gotten to the point where like we've got to not only maybe just do this only once a week on a regular basis, but push it as late in the day as possible. Because if I do it too early in the day, I'll just eat the rest of the day. And it's like, and I just can't get full. And it's actually, sometimes it's not fun when like you're constantly hungry. There's a limit to how hungry I want to be. Like it's distracting. And the worst thing you can do, by the way, I've learned this the hard way, is crush like a killer, like 1 hour workout and then be really empty, have the edible, it like sets in right away. And then you're already super hungry after a tough workout. But then you add the edible and it's like exponential hunger. Like to the point where I said to my wife like several times, I'm dangerously hungry. Like I feel like I'm going to die if I don't eat. And that you know, gets kind of scary. It's hangry on steroids. So, you know, that's one thing to consider, you know, with alcohol too. If you know that if you have a couple drinks, it opens up, your inhibitions get down and you just want to lose control and you overdo it. you know, maybe just save for later in the day, limit it as best you can. And you got to go through this process. And again, I want you to find how many drinks you can get away with, or, you know, whatever you enjoy that, you know, healthy and, you know, responsible way, while still seeing the results you're looking for. So find that, be okay with taking the time to fine tune and figure it out. And, you know, it's a journey. You're fine tuning forever, by the way. So, but I will say it's better, probably better done only once a week and as late in the day as possible. It actually does help with sleep in some cases. Alcohol, they say, can help with initially falling asleep, but then you might like wake up in the middle of the night. With the indica in particular, apparently the sativa, actually, maybe I need to start working that in more because you don't get as hungry. Otherwise, I won't be able to fit in these shorts. But, you know, the indica, like, just incredible body relaxation, best sleeps of my life. But I digress. So let's get into the checklist here. Pre-cheat meal, cheat meal, and post-cheat meal. We're going to kind of finish off this episode. I hope you're enjoying all this information. You know, pre-cheat meal, you want to, I highly recommend a modified intermittent fast in the morning. You know, and by the way, listen to my podcast on fasting where I go into great detail on this, but mainly I'm just having some protein powder and athletic greens in the morning, and then I'll do my big workout, and then in the afternoon is when I would start engaging in the festivities, if I would, or maybe I'll push even later in the day, but and have a good meal in the afternoon to start, and then you know, I'll get after it in the evening based on what I'm looking to do. But again, you want to be as empty as possible. I think that's critical, and it's been a big part of the process for me having good cheats. Mandatory. You got to crush a killer workout. All right, I can tell you this. Fat people cheat without activity. How do I know? Because that's what I used to do. You know, like you just order a pizza at night when you didn't do anything all day. That's what fat people do. And I'm not trying to fat shame. I'm just saying these are the habits of, you know, the fat versus the fit. Or the fatter version of you versus the fitter version of you. So you just, and you know what? At this point in my life, I will not, like, if I'm not going to do the workout, even if I was scheduled to have that cheat day, I'm just not going to do it. It's just, I've got to earn that. It's not only because of the fact that those extra calories go to recovery, your body is more likely to use those calories for the recovery process and to replenish the muscle glycogen burned during workouts, and it is to store fat. It's just hormonally a lot of better things happen that way, but also just a habit of, again, not that you can out-exercise the amount of calories you consume, but over the course of a year of engaging in weekly cheats, if exercise is done before, we're talking about thousands of calories that are burnt to help offset as much as you can, you know, the extra caloric intake. It's just something you have to do. You've got to crush a killer workout, maybe a depletion style workout. By depletion, I mean like, you know, interval style, circuit style, like 30 to 60 second work periods, which are glycolytic, meaning they actually burn the carbohydrate stored in your muscles the most to make room for extra carbs and calories, or a muscle gain workout where you're creating some muscle damage, still depleting glycogen, and your body's going to use that fuel for recovery. So, you know, you earn it, and then you also take advantage of those extra calories in whatever way you can. Push it in as late of the day as possible. You start the day with pancakes and oranges. I've touched on this before. You're fucked the rest of the day. Every hour you'll be hungry. You'll make terrible choices, bad decisions, and it'll be brutal. And usually you'll offset the benefits from a week of good eating if you like start the day eating like shit. Push it past noon as late in the day as possible is going to be best. Better done at restaurants. Why? Because it's expensive. You can leave the food there and less likely to get sloppy in public. You know, so find some good restaurants. Make it count. And leave it there. Not, again, if you're making cleaner cheats at home, that's a different story. But make sure at least you don't have like bad ingredients at home. That because you got to make things inconvenient and expensive, and you're less likely to overdo it. And frankly, you'll be too lazy to like go and get food in most cases, right? But I think that's important. You know, to leave it there and come home and then get right back on track. Also, pregame with some protein prevents hanger and really eating with your eyes. If you go in famished, you're going to like, you'll order like five things off the menu versus if you come in like you're hungry, but you've got something in you, you know, look through the menu, take time, you're less likely to overdo it. The cheat meal checklist. You want to prioritize protein and produce and focus on food volume. I almost always will get a big salad. We'll get some sides of like Brussels sprouts, those crispy Brussels sprouts with pancetta or bacon are excellent. You know, sometimes I make some amazing roasted cauliflower, but I'll try to you know, get some food volume in before the main event so I don't overdo it and I get fuller faster. That's critical. I also make sure the cheats count. If it's going to be a shitty white bun with that burger, I'll just go bunless. I can have more fries that way. But if we're talking like a buttery Kaiser roll or a pretzel bun or, you know, like if you're having a sandwich and it's like a toasted sourdough, like, again, you got to make it count. If it doesn't satisfy or if it's not better than a lower calorie substitute, it's not worth it. Again, that's just getting sloppy with it. That's what the fatter version of yourself would do. The fit version of yourself, they make it count. And if they can find a better substitute that doesn't have as much of a caloric cost, you choose it. Pick your poison, all right? A fucking meal is like an app, you know, multiple apps, dessert, you know, like over-the-top entree. You're probably better picking just one or two of those, right? You know, if I get burgers and fries, I'm most likely not going to get the milkshake, you know, because I'll have the enlightened ice cream later on at home or one of the other substitutes. Again, you have to, especially as you get older, you know, you want to dial things in, you know, you just don't do it all, right? Or I'm going to say I'm just going to have the food and not the drinks. So you make those decisions. Don't bring home the leftovers. And then just always follow that with a digestion walk. I think that's important just to, not only does it give you like 20 minutes to like allow yourself to get full, but you know, nothing's worse than just like engorging yourself with food and laying on the couch and you just get all fucking sloppy. You just feel like shit. I think you always want to have a digestion walk in. Not that like the calories you're going to burn in a 20 minute walk are going to make a difference, but I think you definitely will digest faster. You'll feel better and it gives you a break from the food so that you allow yourself to get full and most likely come back and you're done. Post-cheat meal. Get right back on track the next meal or morning. All right? That's critical. Got to get right back on track. Do some form of, ideally, a killer workout that next day, like the ones I had previously mentioned. But, you know, just maybe it's a two-hour hike. One thing I'll note, too, like after, you know, cheat meal or cheat day, sometimes I feel heavier. You're carrying more water weight. The last thing I want to do is something like pull-ups and shit like that. So really, just try to get a great sweat, maybe more cardiovascular. But crush some calories, get a good sweat going, get some mobility and range of motion through the joints because sometimes the joints are a little stiff and you'll feel so much better. And you got to follow that with a lower carb calorie day. Again, get right back on track. And be as active as you can that day. One thing that happens too is you get this like hangover following a cheat meal. Like, oh my God, I wait another week. So make Sunday fun. Like go out for brunch and get, you know, a good egg dish with veggies and maybe a little bit of potato, but you know, no bread, just some fruit. And one thing we've done in the past too is steak Sundays. You know, we'll grill up some really good steaks and some veggies and make Sunday feel good, even though it's not like eating the gluttonous food we did on the previous days. So, you know, find something fun to kind of deal with the hangover, having to wait another week to enjoy yourself, to make it more fun to get back on track. So that's important as well. Bottom line, find how much you can get away with and celebrate that. Fine tune over time. It's taken me 15 plus years. And even then, like now I've been having to figure out how to do it with edibles. It's a nonstop journey. And then, you know, use more or less dietary flexibility based on your goals, your fitness level, time of year, etc. And make it work for you. Critical. This is about you. You know, some can get away with more. Definitely some get away with less. Celebrate what you can get away with and make it fun. Make it count. And there's no reason you can't enjoy the foods you love and look great, perform well, and live the dream. So I hope this inspires you to do that and just be patient with yourself. One, a couple closing notes here. Check out the show notes for any episodes or links discussed. And if you are looking for my new shorts and line of athleisure apparel, be sure to go to sleevessoldseparately.com. Get on the waiting list. We're launching the shorts soon. Been getting a lot of great feedback on social media about them. I think you'll really enjoy it. And show notes for everything else. And you know what? There is nothing more fun than a good meal. Don't let yourself get caught in the trap that you can't enjoy yourself, that you know all the foods you've loved are off limits. We just got to find the right amount that you can incorporate them on a regular basis without getting too sloppy with it. And it's possible. And it did take some time, but it's well worth the journey because I'll tell you what, being able to kind of be at that level now, it makes everything I did up until now worth it because it's tough. But once you get there, man, you do live the dream, especially if food is a big drive for you. So hope this helps, guys. Love you. Peace. And a 5-star rating and review is much appreciated. It helps us build the podcast. If we build this more and more, I'll put more time and energy into it. More killer episodes like this. So it means a lot if you take the time to do it right now and help us spread the word to good people like you. Love you. Peace.